CityTalk 105.9, official podcast. Online at citytalk.fm. CityTalk 105.9. Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks.
This is a man's world. But it would be nothing.
And that music means only one thing. It is radio's first and only dedicated radio show aimed at blokes, kind of. Here in Liverpool, North Wales and North West England, it's City Talk 105.9 and this show is Bloke Talk. I'm Duncan. Hello, thank you for tuning in at the weekend or downloading it onto whatever you use. Toby is here as well. You right there, Tobes?
I'm very good, thank you.
Looking very fresh and kind of like a thrusting this week.
I haven't been working today, so I'm wide awake.
And Laura as well, who offers the female input to all things bloke orientated. You
good
right,
evening.
Are you?
Yes, I'm
now, we're going to get cracking. We're going to do something a little bit different this week because over the past couple of weeks we've been trying different foods on the show. And the first week I brought in some tinned roasted squid,
which was beautiful,
which no one had the backbone and balls to try apart from me. Toby, you leapt into Laura's lap screaming like a girl. Laura then decided to jump to the other side of the studio. I tried it. It was not pretty, but at least I had the courage to try it. We also had my pennywort herbal drink. Last week, Toby excelled himself with some fine food from the Pacific Rim.
Yes.
We had, what did we have? We had a bit
men's
of
tea.
We had a bit of pokey.
Men's
tea.
We had a nice men's
chili.
Tea, which was good. That went down well.
Tell you what, that made the plastic bag smell very fragrant.
And we had your kind of like your slightly
spicy biscuit
nibbles.
Yes.
So this week it's Laura's turn to source the food, which you have done. And we're going to do it in the first part of the show for the simple reason that you've run into the studio because it's hot.
Yes, it's
hot. And it's
hot.
Just been cooked.
Yeah, just been cooked.
Now, for those who obviously can't see anything that's going on in this studio, and we turn the webcam off for this particular show, I can smell, it's like there's frying tonight. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It smells like a chip shop in here. It smells like a greasy spoon.
It certainly does.
So I'm
setting the scene.
And also, which nicely gives something away, is your big paper bag there with lobster pot written on the side.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of intrigued. Now, how do you want to do this? Do you want to kind of unwrap?
Do you want me to just tell you what it is?
Yeah, I've got to be honest with you. Already, the kind of smell of frying is just making me feel a little bit queasy.
You've come a little closer to home, haven't you, in terms of where the food is from?
Well, I thought we've done...
Where do you come from?
Where do I come from? England.
Oh, right. So, which part of England?
Oxford.
Is it closer to Laura's home or closer to Liverpool?
No, just in terms of you brought something in from wherever you
got
did.
You.
I brought
China.
Something in from, Middle East
got
somewhere.
You. Got you. Misunderstood.
Laura's come closer to
I
home.
I thought it was some kind of Oxford delicacy we might be sticking in our gobs.
Yes, well, let me tell you what it is.
Yes, do.
With your Scottish roots, Duncan, I'm sure you know that it was Burns Night earlier this week.
Yeah,
so, In honour of that, really, I've brought some Scottish food.
Is it? Well, I've got two thoughts in my head. One is the traditional Burns Night supper. Think of it Scottish, it's got to be one of two things. Okay, I'm thinking either, because I can smell the frying, deep fried bar, which is a very traditional Scottish dish. I've had it before. In a pub in Scotland. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
No, let me tell you the story. I thought my arteries were going to glaze over.
Did I not say before this show,
what?
I bet you've tried this before?
Yeah. No, I haven't had it for about 12 years. I've had deep fried bars before, and it was in a pub in Scotland that was open at about 2 in the morning, and we finished the pub, and the next door was a chippy. It's because you put it in your mouth, and you go, ah! You could feel your arteries kind of like just furring up, and your body stops moving. Toby, have you ever had it before?
No,
just have one mouthful, because I've got some more different deep-fried stuff.
The thing is I've never actually eaten one of these sober. That's the problem.
Go on, just have a bite into
Look
it.
Look at how
well the thing is. You've got to be careful because
is.
it's got caramel in it, and the thing is, if it's too hot, it will be out. It'll be like molten lava.
It won't be
lava.
That.
High.
It was still about 10 minutes.
The outside is quite hot.
Oh my!
All right, so let's get a kind of people know, it's quite amazing how it works because the batter keeps. You would think that the chocolate melts, wouldn't you?
The chocolate has melted,
but
a bit.
You know, you kind of still get the bar shape.
Here we go. Am I going to die after eating this?
Oh.
Jonathan, would you like some?
Jonathan's the producer. You really need a pint of heavy with this.
Here we go.
Go on, Toby.
Oh, my gosh.
In it goes.
Oh, no. That is a heart attack on a plate.
What? Tell me what you can taste.
I can't move my mouth.
Go on.
I actually don't like it. It tastes like...
Can you taste the bar?
The inside is sort of... The inside's really nice, but I just don't think it works with the batter.
Well, okay, let's try a different one.
Hang on, I haven't tried it yet.
Oh, go on.
Here we go.
I do feel like I might be about to peel over and I'm quite upset because this has spoiled all the hard exercise that I've done today.
Well, they don't just do...
We'll talk about later.
What happens is, you just get through the batter, okay, and chomp your way through the batter, and then you get the chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh, boom.
Mm. And they don't mix together very well, do they? They don't taste right together.
This is a deep-fried bar. Come on, try it.
I don't like coconut.
I'm going to try it anyway.
You might like coconut in a batter and chocolate.
Here we go.
Mix.
If you're wondering what the hell's going on, that's a good question. Now, this is Bloke Talk here on the Voice of Liverpool, City Talk 105.9. Last few weeks, we've been bringing in different food.
That works much better, Duncan.
I don't like coconut.
You can't taste the coconut.
I don't like it.
Jonathan's going to have a go.
This one's exploded. Duncan, you can try this one, then. This is another Scottish delicacy.
Oh, don't tell me it's deep-fried haggis.
No. It's another sweet one. Go on.
What is it?
An Easter treat.
It looks like... Don't tell me that's a deep-fried cream egg. Fantastic.
Oh, I'm in on that as well.
Bring it on. Look at that. I mean, first up, before you dig into it, Tobe, look at that. What does that look like? You open. You've got these polystyrene. Remember it's like the old days when McDonald's came to this country. You used to always get the kind of like... What do you call that? Polystyrene? Styrofoam or something?
It's like a burger box, isn't it?
Yeah, and you pop it open... And on that one, Tobe, look, the middle has seeped out.
Right,
I'm gonna tuck in here. I've never had. Oh,
can we actually have this? Oh,
what's
all
on the inside? Are you sure they're both cream eggs? This one's got no white in it.
Did you not? Does it all come out?
Did you not get another one? What did you get?
Toby's has got.
I've got
no,
a bit of white in
exploded.
Mine. Here we go. Ready?
So I'm just gonna try that.
Oh.
Oh, that is bad. Jonathan, try one of those. My teeth are going lame. Do you know what
I mean? I actually opened my mouth.
It's healthy food, that. Food.
Oh, ma'am.
What, are you getting a sugar rush?
You think of this?
That's a great idea. Well done.
I just thought Scottish Burns Night, but I didn't want to get haggis.
Have you ever tried haggis, being the almost vegetarian that you are?
No, it's too...
I had one of my best nights of my life once on the Burns Night.
I tried haggis of my former housemate.
I can't eat it unless it's got some whiskey drizzle on it.
Not very nice.
I can't.
What do you think? Laura's made a bit of a mess on her hands there.
I feel crazy.
I do actually feel a bit sick. Shall we put it back in the bag?
So we've had deep-fried bar, which is a part of the staple diet of anyone north of Adrian's Wall. We've had the deep-fried, which I don't like coconut.
That was the nicest. You couldn't really taste the coconut at all.
Really?
It was just, it wasn't bad.
Battery.
Oh, no. For God's sake, don't spill a battered cream egg or a battered bowl over the radio studio. I'll be hell to pay. You know what the engineer's like around here. He's a nice guy, but he might not take too kindly.
I might actually have another bite of butterbeer.
Wow, she liked it that much.
Do you know what? As I walked back to here, I saw the big display for Liverpool's Lose £1 million. We're going to be putting on a few of those tonight.
I think that's great. So, have I reviewed you? You've had haggis, you said, Tobe.
I've had one sort of small mouthful.
Is haggis? A cheap stomach?
It's.
Yeah, it's awful.
I just felt a bit... I feel a little bit queasy when I find out what things actually are.
I am, because I've got Scottish roots. Well remembered. I'm impressed you remember that, Laura. I've had to skirt around Burns Night. And I was once seeing a girl who... her folks were Scottish as well, and they used to do Burns Night. They used to have this tradition. It was a family tradition. They used to start off with haggis, neeps and tatties...
Mm-hmm.
Which was the starter.
What's the neeps and tatties?
You got your potatoes, your tatties, and neeps is your turnip.
Turnip, okay. Right.
Haggis, neeps and tatties. And the Keith was his name. He was the father. He used to read out a Burns poem about the haggis when it was bought in, because normally you pipe the haggis in. Then you'd have roast beef and Yorkshire pudding and all of the trimmings. And then there was a thing called clootie dumpling, which was this... Yeah, it's a suet pudding. And it's had fruit on the inside, and literally, you think the deep-fried Shepherd's bar. Kind of like it was clogging up your arteries. A Clootie dumpling, kind of when you stick it on the table, it goes, and it weighs a ton. And that was it. And the only way, because I can take or leave haggis, but like deep fried bars, and anyone who's Scottish is going to hate me for saying this, I need to have had a few drinks.
Why aren't Scots all like absolutely humongous than if they have?
Because it's very cold and they burn it off.
Really? Do you burn off more calories in cold weather?
Yeah, of course you
do. Is that true?
Yeah.
Why?
I've no idea, but it's true.
Is that true?
I don't know.
I didn't know that.
So
he sounds very informed.
I know about these
things.
Surely
you'd burn it off more in hot weather because you sweat and...
No. So your body needs more energy to keep warm when it's cold. That's why you go to any country where they have really fierce winters and they have what we talked about food a lot before on this show. They have kind of like, you know, their winter cuisine. But like France, for example, you know, chunks of France, January, February, March time, you know, it's bitterly cold. There's big wind blowing. We talked about this a few weeks ago. And all people do is eat and make babies. And the food they have are really kind of like hearty, like rabbit stew, stuff that sticks to the ribs, you know, because, you know, your body is keeping using a lot more energy to keep warm.
I never knew that.
My favourite haggis deeps and tatties I've ever had. Ever been to a Cayley?
Yeah.
Where did you go to your Cayley?
Well, I've been to Barn Dances, which I think is the English version.
Yeah. Ever been to a Cayley, though?
Well, it's the same thing, isn't
it?
Barn Dance, Cayley, Barn Dance.
No, you've got to go to a Cayley in Scotland. I went to a Cayley at the Caledonian Brewery on Burns Night in Edinburgh. Okay, and it's great. A lot of people got very drunk very quickly on Caledonian IPA.
Nice.
And a little shutter opened up in the corner of the room of the where they stored the barrels in the brewery. And there was this rather plump Scottish matronly woman dispensing haggis, neeps and tatties.
And it was good.
Beautiful. The world was a beautiful place.
I'd be interested to try again, but I'm just not very good when I know how disgusting what it is.
I always find
like.
You dribble a little bit of whiskey on it, it makes it more palatable. Because otherwise you are chomping literally on
stomach.
Gut.
Yeah, nice.
You know. Bit of its intestines.
Shall we move on from food?
We're going nicely around the world. We've done China.
Yeah.
We've done kind of like Singapore, India and stuff. We're now down Scotland. So
next week, America.
It reverts to me for next week, doesn't it?
So, well, are we now going to change it? Because last week we talked about actually each of us making something.
No, I haven't got time to do that. Have you got time to do that, Laura?
No,
we'll continue the theme. It is the weekend, unless, of course, you've downloaded this, and you're listening to Bloke Talk here on City Talk 105.9, Voice of Liverpool.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9.
I can't be the only person who can still taste deep-fried kind of confectionery in my mouth.
Deep-friedness.
It's the way when you bite it, you get a load of oil in your mouth.
Yeah. It's horrendous. Yeah. And my
plus
mouth
a load of melted
feels
chocolate.
Oily and...
It is Bloke Talk, and I'm Duncan. Toby's here. Laura's here as well. We've opened. It's amazing you can get these soft drinks in bottles now. It's good, isn't it? So we're here for the best part of an hour every weekend, unless, of course, you have downloaded this. And I must just remind people that you can download this and listen again to shows and go on to iTunes. Is that right?
Yes.
And do stuff like that. And apparently, you know, it's in the league table, they tell me. You know, Bloke Talk's in a good position.
I know,
which is lovely.
We spoke about this last
which
week.
Is great, you know. So let's just keep it up there.
Absolutely.
If you know what
someone
I mean.
Wrote on the Bloke Talk Facebook Appreciation Society wall.
Yes, they did.
They said a comment, they said, great show, guys, but when is Toby's voice going to break?
When's it going to break, Toby?
It's probably fair. To be honest with you, I don't know if it ever is. I've got a theory about why I've got a slightly higher voice than I might.
Do tell.
When, if you notice, you too will be able to sit either side of me and be able to see if I lift my neck up.
You
slightly,
haven't got an Adam's
you
apple.
You can see that I haven't really got an Adam's apple.
My God, what
now,
are
the
you?
Reason for this, I personally believe, is that when I was at school in drama, of all things, I once, one day, one afternoon, I was punched in the neck.
Oh, no.
And I'm glad to...
Who punched you? Because you'll know the name of the person who punched you.
His name...
Let's create the mental picture. Who punched you?
Tom?
Yeah. Punched Toby Gillis?
Yes.
Oh.
He was...
he punched you Adam's apple
he
out.
He punched me in the neck. And ever since then, I mean, I had a sort of normal size.
Why
Adam's
did he punch you, Toby?
I don't really know.
Oh, come on.
I was bullied at school, generally.
Oh, were you?
That must be
oh.
it.
Anyway. Oh,
so, yeah, Tom
Furber, talk about
he
it.
Was one of these people with sort of brown, scraggy, long, shoulder-length hair.
Oh, not one of them.
Clearly hadn't washed for years, and, yeah, not a nice person.
Did he live in a caravan?
I think he lived in a cave, to be honest.
So
yeah,
Tom,
brown,
what was his name?
Scraggy hair.
Tom.
Not scraggy hair.
Not impressive.
So Tom punched your Adam's apple out.
Well, punched it in, not out.
Good point.
And because you can still just about feel it, but you can't see it.
Yeah.
And my theory is that if I had a normal Adam's apple, I'd probably also have a slightly lower voice.
Yeah, your voice, now it's been brought to everyone's attention on the Bloke Talk Appreciation Society Facebook page.
Yeah.
Your voice is quite high, isn't it?
It is quite high.
One presumes, and I'm choosing my words carefully, everything else kind of fell into position. Didn't it?
I'm thinking about those cream eggs now. Is Toby's voice actually higher than mine?
Yes.
I think it might be.
Shut up, Duncan.
Is it?
Stop doing impressions.
Whose voice is higher?
Yours, much higher.
Is it?
Yes.
Because I know I've got a low voice.
Why is that? Were you punched by...
I don't know.
I think Laura's got a great voice. I think it's very deep and very authoritative.
It works.
Yeah.
She has got
it's
a good
kind
voice.
Of thing you'd hear on a chat line, isn't it?
No, it's the kind of thing I like
when you read. Have you thought
when
about
you read
doing that, actually? You could earn a lot of money.
No, I've never thought about that.
No, I can't imagine anyone wanting to do that.
Speak to an easy way to chat line.
It is.
A bit harsh.
I know someone who paid their way through. They used to do evening classes and stuff, and the only way they could pay for it was to two nights a week do the kind of the chat line thing, and just said it made her realise, and I can't remember the exact words. She said, "Actually, it just made me realise how base humankind is in terms of when it comes to men," because like she'd be sitting there and her sort of like, you know, her whole holy patchy, you know, it's got like tracky bottoms and stuff
doing the sewing,
you know, or stuffing envelopes because that was something else she was doing to earn a few quid, and you know, literally she'd be going yeah, and there'd be some man at the end of the phone kind of like going oh yeah, and she'd be going yeah, and she just said it was the most unsexual thing on the planet. But you're right, you can make money out of it.
Just sat there eating cheesy Watsits.
Yeah, you know, you got one hand in the cheesy Watsits bowl, the other stuffing envelopes, you know, you've got the omnibus EastEnders on the go going, yeah. You know, she said it was the most unsexual thing on the planet. Anyway, so, you know, if times are hard, Laura, you know, you could get a couple of nights.
Yeah, if I lose my job here.
No, it won't happen. So, it's interesting that someone's pointed out your kind of... high-pitched voice.
Yeah.
It's not that high-pitched.
No, it's not, no.
It's, what I do have is, not that I'm the greatest singer on earth, but I've got quite a big range. I can sing quite high and quite low.
Give us an example of that, then. What's your range like?
How many octaves?
Yeah. I don't know. I've never actually counted. And it becomes a bit of a squeal at the top end.
Go on, what's the lowest note you can do?
Oh, God. La, la, la.
It was that D?
Yeah, that's a D.
Is it? Or was that an E?
I think
how low can you go, Duncan?
I don't know, I can't hear that.
Have a go.
Da, 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 da. Is that any good?
Can you not go lower than that?
Bob.
That's about the same as me, isn't it?
Go on, what's the highest you can do then, Toby?
I don't know. Something like that.
Got dogs now across the northwest barking away.
How low can you go?
Oh.
That's a very personal question to ask a lady. And how high can you go?
About the same. That sounded quite similar to your mouse impression.
Yeah. So
we're just being silly now, aren't we?
Tell us some.
It's not great radio.
No, it's worthy of discussion because someone pointed out that Toby has compared to other men.
People obviously want to know what's going on with my voice.
Quite
so
a
now
hard voice.
We're discussing it.
I'm a little bit because you wandered into the radio station earlier wearing a cardigan.
Yes,
I noticed, which you've not actually brought into the studio.
No, it's actually a bit hot in.
I wanted to talk about your cardigan. That's fierce bit of work. There, you got some big old buttons on there and a hood.
Yeah.
What's the story with the cardigan?
I saw it, liked it, bought it.
It's kind of a Huggy Bear thing.
Not much of a story behind it.
It's a Huggy Bear Starsky.
I like men in cardigans.
See? You quite like that thing that I, you know, the one.
Yeah,
don't
that
you?
I know the one. I pointed that out. Yeah, that's good.
I do get quite a few compliments on it, I have to say.
What do they say?
They say that I'm a stylish young man and that I look huggable as well in that.
You see, Dean Sullivan, who...
somebody did ask me if it was my Christmas jumper as opposed to Christmas as well.
We have a presenter on this radio station, Monday to Friday, in the afternoon, called Dean Sullivan.
Oh, do we?
Some of you might remember him from Brookside. And he comes in with different cardigans each day.
Does he wear cardigans?
He wears cardigans. And one day he had this really chunky bit of knitwear on. And I said, that's an interesting cardigan. And he said, as Dean does. So
what was that?
So I quite liked it. And anyway, I went out the next day and I bought one.
Did you?
So I've got a chunky knitwear cardigan, which I like, because, you know, particularly
good,
in the northwest when it's cold,
it's
you need something
stylish.
Well, it's good for your kidneys. Did you know that?
To keep yourself warm.
Yeah. Jean. Let me. The older I get more interested in kind of slightly alternative kind of ways of thinking and living and medicine and well-being. Okay, we'll do a show on it one day. And your kidneys are responsible for a lot of how you feel as a human being. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
It's all to do with Chinese medicine. It's all to do with your qi.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of qi.
And kidneys are really, really important.
My friend's called qi.
Because a lot of people think... Where does he come from, qi?
China.
Oh, who would have thought it? A lot of people think that your kidneys are there purely just to flush liquid in and out of your system, okay? And the answer to that is, yeah, that's absolutely correct. But they're also an energy source, your kidneys. And if your kidneys get cold, your kidneys, they contract and they get smaller. OK, and that's not good for your well-being. So you must keep your kidneys warm so they feel nice and cosseted, nice and warm and stuff, and you get plenty of energy flowing around your body. And a cardigan does that incredibly well because they're always a little bit longer at the back, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm.
And keeps your kidneys warm.
Wow.
So you've learned
I've not
something.
Seen you in your cardigan, in your knit, as they're called.
Yeah, like do you wear that?
I've got it in today. It's on the back of my chair in the office.
Well, have a look when we go out.
Yeah, do that. We can compare cardigans.
Yes.
I've got a zip, not buttons.
You've been taking style tips from our Dean Sullivan.
Well, you can learn a lot from Dean.
Or Jimmy Corkill, as he likes to be called sometimes.
He used to be in Brookie. You were saying that you've been doing some exercise.
Yes.
What's your exercise story?
This is why I was a little bit upset about eating what we have today.
No.
Because on last week, we discussed Laura, myself and Phil Cooper from the news team are going to be taking part in a triathlon.
You'll be passing the baton from one to another.
Well, today I started my training and I went on a bike ride.
Oh, that's just nice.
And so I thought, you know, I'm feeling good and now I've just clogged up my arteries.
How far did you go?
We went.
Oh, you went with someone. Who did you go with?
I went with Pee-Pee.
Pee-Pee?
Pee-Pee came with me on the bike. She's agreed to be
tandem.
My training partner, but I'm...
Yeah.
But I'm not...
It was on the front saddle. What?
She was behind me most of the time.
Okay. So where did you go?
We went... We cycled from where I live in Crosby to Formby.
Oh, right.
Probably about 10-mile round trip.
That's actually
like
quite
that.
An ambitious trip, isn't it?
Something like that. Yeah. Well, it wasn't too ambitious for me.
Yeah. Oh.
But this is kind of what I wanted to discuss, was girls and exercise.
Yeah.
Unless you meet a girl that's a bit of an exercise freak, generally, I think, don't really mix that well, do they? Because without wanting to be too unkind, because she hasn't really done much cycling in her life.
You are aware this show does get broadcast, aren't
you? She did walk most of the way home.
Okay. How long have you and PPB seen each other now? A couple of months?
Well, she probably ended it as soon as she's heard this, so...
Yeah.
there goes the phone.
But that's because you're a keen cyclist. Of course you're going to be fast.
I haven't actually had my bike on the road since probably September. Hardly cycled at all, but she it wasn't the being behind me. I didn't mind any of that. It wasn't being slower than me. Glad you find this all so hilarious.
It was just a delicious turn of phrase.
The moaning. She didn't stop moaning.
So hang on a second. Let's put this into context for people who've just tuned in.
Yeah.
It is City Talk 105.9, The Voice of
this
Liverpool.
This is a family show,
it is Bloke
Talk. Remembered that,
Laura's here, Toby's here, I'm Duncan. We're talking about... Well, Toby's brought up the subject, and rightly so, of when it comes to females and ladies exercising. And he went on a bike trip today... And,
with Pee-Pee.
With Pee-Pee, who's your current squeeze.
Yes.
She was behind you and she was moaning a lot.
Sometimes I let her go in front.
Great. So, did she make it to Formby?
She made it all the way to Formby.
Yeah, and then what happened when you got to Formby? Did you have an ice cream?
We got there, wandered around the shops for
Mr.
a bit.
Mr. Whippy?
Went into a bike shop, actually, because she's thinking about getting a new bike to help her.
Now, you see, I would say that's a sign of her commitment to your relationship.
Do you think?
Yeah. What do you reckon, Laura?
Maybe it's
a sign
that she wants to get into cycling.
Here's someone, and, you know, Pee-Pee's a lovely girl. Here's someone who quite clearly, you know, is kind of like thinking, all right, well, Toby's embarking on this great feat of sporting achievement, you know, and I want to help him by getting involved in his training. She's thinking that not only does she put herself out, and spends 5 miles, okay, cycling with you. She gets to Formby. She's probably thinking, maybe I'll get a nice treat, chocolate bar, ice cream, or whatever. And you go, let's go now and look at the bike shop.
She got a drink. She wanted a drink. She got a drink.
Did she willingly go around the bike shop?
It was her. It was her. It was said I can have a look at
your relationship.
Oh, I think so, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
It means that she wants a better bike so she can keep up with you. She can go behind you and in front of you. And,
if she's... we're completely honest, I'm not convinced the bike was the problem today.
What was the problem?
I think, well, this is what I wanted to talk about, was her...
Fitness.
Her fitness, basically.
Well,
she was she was in quite a lot of pain, pretty much, by the time we got there.
What kind of pain?
Her legs, and she... I'm not even going to say the next bit, because I know I'll get you laughing.
What, her bottom?
Yes. Okay. Well done for not laughing.
So I can talk about bottoms without laughing most of the time.
Not in the context of this conversation.
Well, me and Dave played squash last weekend together. And bear in mind
you're
that
quite fit, though, aren't you? You do all this swimming.
Yeah, and bear in mind I've been playing squash for years and he's only played once before, so I thought I was going to absolutely whip him.
Yeah.
And he thrashed me. Well, I won the first couple of games and then as soon as he got into it, he got a... I think just men are more likely to be more natural at sports because, I've played...
Yeah, cycling isn't a sport, is it? Let's be honest.
What do you mean cycling's not a sport?
Well, it's not a sport.
Go and tell Chris Hoy that.
Go and tell Lars.
Well, whatever he's ever in the City Radio Tower. Look, let's put it into perspective. Cycling, you compare it alongside something like cricket or rugby, it's not a sport,
what?
Is it?
Got to be a lot fitter to cycle than you do to play cricket.
I'm not talking about fitness. I'm talking about
whether or not it's a
sport.
Did you not watch the Olympics?
No, it's boring. I'm not interested in the Olympics.
What? You didn't watch the
crazy
gold medal? BBC telling you you must cheerlead a load of people who I've paid to train through my tax money. I'm not interested in that. Anyway, Olympics has got nothing to do with it. What's got everything to do with it is the fact that cricket, rugby, football is a hell of a lot more of a sport than cycling.
Why?
Why? Because it requires a lot more skill.
Why?
Because it does.
Why?
No, it doesn't.
Anyone can get on a bike and go on a nice little journey to Formby and visit a bike shop. It's not a sport.
I'm going to get Chris Hoy to come in and beat you up for saying that.
Or just offer to race him.
Oh, yeah.
He'd probably be more humiliated.
I shall take my Sondico cricket bat to him. Parts of his anatomy will look like some of those deep-fried things we had earlier.
Oh, dear.
It is Bloke Talk, and it's here on The Voice of Liverpool, City Talk 105.9. We've been talking so far in the show about various things, but we have mentioned the Bloke Talk Appreciation Society, and if you want to kind of leave a comment or a message regarding this show and you're on Facebook, go to Facebook, type in Bloke Talk Appreciation Society. You can join our kind of, I suppose it's our gang, isn't it?
Hmm.
Yeah.
And even though neither of you two are members.
And you can write on the wall.
She makes a decent point.
Good point. Well made. So do that. Alternatively, any comments regarding Bloke Talk, you can email it to me. I'm Duncan, D-U-N-C-A-N, Duncan@citytalk.fm. And I believe you can also go to the website citytalk.fm and email Laura and Toby as well. It is a weekend, unless, of course, you downloaded this. And this is Bloke Talk on The Voice of Liverpool, City Talk 105.9.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9.
But it would be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
Bloke Talk here on The Voice of Liverpool, City Talk 105.9. Cheers. And we're here till the end of the hour now, talking stuff. Laura's here and Toby's here and I'm Duncan. And it's been a busy old show so far, hasn't it? It's been a very busy old show. What do you want? No. So what have we done so far? We've done the deep-fried Mars bars, the little Easter eggs, the bounty bar. Was there something else in there?
No, that was the iron brew.
And I'm sorry, I'm a bit burpy now. That's what happens with fizzy drinks, isn't
it's
it?
It's a bit cold in this studio, isn't it?
It is. Well, during the break, because we had a bit of cardigan chat earlier, I thought it was... and you've learned something with Chinese medicine and your chi and your kidneys
certainly
and stuff.
Certainly have, yeah.
I've got my cardigan on there.
It's
grey. It's charcoal, actually.
It's like the sort of thing that Dean Sullivan might have
yeah, I kind of... it keeps me warm, and occasionally, if I feel the world's against me, you know, sometimes you get those days, you just feel everything's conspiring against you. Do you know what I mean? Do you get those? It can't just be me who gets those
days. No,
I've had
one
today, to be honest.
You need a cardigan, because what you can do is do this. World feels better behind
the
cardigan.
That's if you've got a zipper cardigan.
Oh, well, I have. Toby, I notice, has buttons.
I have buttons. I've got
an
extraordinary number of buttons
kind of,
on this thing.
There's pee-pee-like your buttons.
Can I put it on?
If you want to put it on.
Yeah. Every man should have a cardigan. There's a renaissance in cardigans, apparently.
There is. They've become very, very popular.
They have. I wrote a newspaper column about this last year because I write for some newspapers. And you look like...
was a bit lost.
What on earth are you doing? Well, no wonder your cardigan's got a hood on it.
Yeah, it's got a hood.
Oh,
well, hang on a second. Well, then it's not a proper cardigan.
Cardigan. You look a bit like, she looks a bit like the woman from Scottish Widows.
Carrying on the Scottish theme.
Go and stand on a cliff face somewhere. Hop over the Mersey, go onto the Wirral. Go and find just off the coast of Heswall somewhere. Go
okay.
And,
I'll take a bit of deep-fried Mars bar with me.
You can't
just don't get it down Scottish. The cardigan.
That's not a cardigan.
Why not?
Because it's got a hood.
Don't be ridiculous.
It's a hoodie.
Proper cardigans do not have hoods.
You're struggling to do this up properly. Well,
do you know where cardigan comes from?
Cardigan.
No, incorrect. Do you know where cardigan comes from, Toby?
No, not a clue.
Do you want to know?
Is it going to be interesting?
It's you're a history facts lesson. Today.
You know what? If it's not about your kidneys, it's about cardigan.
Go
cardigan
on.
Was invented by the Earl of Cardigan.
Oh.
And the Earl of Cardigan used to fight a lot of battles in Russia. And he was leading a battalion that was particularly cold, and he actually fashioned a garment that was kind of made out of wool, and, you know, unlike a tunic that was very much the fashion sense at the time, it was made out of a lot of very coarse wool, and it had kind of like big, not buttons down the front, like pegs, like a duffel coat, and he invented it. And
pardon
he,
me.
Did you just burp?
It wasn't a burp, it was just the cream egg.
I apologise to anyone in Liverpool, North Wales and North West England for my female co-host.
I'm so sorry.
Belching.
It wasn't a belch, it was just...
Well, a little bit of windy pops.
Just queasiness.
Do you want to be winded?
Queasiness.
Anyway, the other cardigan invented it, gave it to all his troops.
If you're
said,
sick on my cardigan,
warm.
I won't be happy.
Yeah, so that's where cardigan comes from. Oh, I think you should get one, Laura. Get a female kind of cardigan thing.
Can I talk about the thing that I wanted to talk about now?
Yeah, go on.
And this was brought to my attention by City Talk's very own Larry Neild.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought you might find it interesting, you guys.
Go on. Liverpool
MP Jane Kennedy, she's also a farming minister.
Oh, yeah.
She revealed in the Commons this week that almost 700,000 passports have been issued to horses.
Oh, this is fascinating.
What?
Yeah,
unlike human passports, the equine documents don't show a photograph, but a silhouette pointing out distinguishing features of the horse. All horses and all horses and donkeys are now required by law to have a passport.
Right, let's just spool this back for a second. I never realised that a horse needed a passport. So this is pucker, is it?
Yeah, it's genuine. I remember my friend mentioning it to me once. He's got a horse and she told me about it. But what I like most about it is that it's not a photo, it's a silhouette. And it points out whether it's got, you know, a big nose or a long legs or whatever.
Or a big tail.
Yeah.
Or mane.
Yeah.
You see, how many do they reckon there are?
It'd be easy to fake one, though, wouldn't it?
Is this to actually...
Surely most horses look the same in silhouette.
To actually take the horse abroad, is this the reason for it? Or
what do you think a passport's
for?
Well,
that's what I assumed.
Well, no, it says...
I thought you had to...
There's a clue in the title, passing a port, passport.
I thought you had to have, like...
I don't know.
You know, they had to be quarantined and stuff, animals, to go abroad, I thought.
Yeah,
well, it says here that...
Yeah, it's a good question, but I'm fascinated by this.
All horses and donkeys required by law to have a passport, so it can't just be for abroad.
All right, let's
I don't need to have a passport, do I? But a horse or a donkey does.
What do you mean you don't need a passport?
So well, I'm not required by law to own a passport unless I want to go abroad.
Sorry. Yeah.
Whereas a horse and donkey has to have one.
There are two things here. First of all, I can understand why you might want to take a horse abroad, okay? Because maybe you're racing it. Maybe it's a stud horse and you're taking it to, let's say, you know, you've got a horse maybe,
Ireland.
You know, in Cheshire. And, like, it's a real big stud of a horse, and you might want to take it to Portugal to satisfy and delight lots of girl horses and make baby horses that are going to be winning races in the future. I can
Fair
understand
enough.
That.
Yeah.
I can understand why you'd want to take a horse abroad. Why would you want to take a donkey anywhere? You know,
it's a good point, actually.
Why would you take a donkey anywhere? What possible reason would you want to take a donkey out of the country? It doesn't
make
any sense.
Maybe there's an underground donkey racing circuit.
I mean, donkeys are just pointless. Why would you want to go on holiday
with
a donkey?
That's a little bit harsh to say donkeys are pointless.
They don't do anything, do they? Ponies grow up to be horses. Donkeys are boring.
Look, Blackpool's economy has been partly made thanks to donkeys.
But that's Blackpool, not Portugal's, isn't it?
It's true.
Right, second question.
I don't think it's going abroad. I think they just need them to travel around England.
Well, my second question is this.
Crazy.
Who do you get to take the picture of your horse or your donkey? Because when we want passports, we rock up to somewhere like Sainsbury's or Tesco's, and 9 times out of 10 or a railway station, it's a little booth there.
Yeah.
And you put in, it used to be £1, now it's about £3, isn't it?
Well, maybe there's a horsey booth.
Well, the mind boggles. I mean, is this what happens after midnight when they shut the concourse somewhere? The horses start traipsing out.
Do you think the horses have like a chair that they spin round and it goes up and down?
Yeah. And there's some poor, and then the first couple of photos, the horse is kind of like, you only got the top of its head because the seat was far too low. And at least one photo in the middle, you kind of like got this bottom part of its face because the seat was too high.
Make sure the last photo,
you've got an orange curtain that's half pulled across the back.
Make sure all of your face fits in the oval on the screen.
Who takes the pictures of the horses?
I don't know. Maybe
or the silhouettes.
Shall I put a call into Liverpool MP Jane Kennedy?
Let's ask this groundbreaking political question. Why do you want to take a donkey abroad?
Yeah.
Two, who takes the pictures of these horses?
And three, also, why has she sent out this release about it?
It's not sent out a release. It's just something that Larry Neal told me about.
Ah.
So it's just something that was in the news.
But what has she got to do with it? Again?
Well, she's a farming minister, and I think she's in charge of horse passports, so she's earning her money.
So she knows, right.
I think this needs a follow-up call for next week.
We've got to ring her, haven't we?
I'll put a call in.
We've got to understand exactly what the deal is with the whole horse and donkey passports.
We can do a kind of a Paxman-style interview about horse passports.
Well, you see, I'm intrigued with this silhouette thing, because... I mean, you could fake it, couldn't you? You could do a bit of get on. Was it called Paint Book?
Because of course it would
Photoshop.
Be,
Photoshop.
Because of course it would be worth faking it, wouldn't it? There would be benefits to faking. Excuse me, sir. I thought your horse was brown. Well, how can you tell? It's just a silhouette.
No, I'm thinking. Listen, there's a point here, and the point is this. The silhouette wouldn't reveal much of the colour, would it? It'd just be distinguishing features.
So, I mean,
it'd be kind of like you could take any horse and fake a passport by going on to Photoshop, giving it a long tail or a big tail. Passport control person would go, hello, mate. I see your horse has got a big tail. You go, yeah. And that's it. You're over the border.
With your illegal immigrant horse.
Those horses, they come over
why
here.
Does it, what I don't get is why does it matter? What possible reason is there for having this picture of your... Like, they can see you've got a horse, presumably. It's not like you're smuggling it in a bag or anything.
Maybe
they can see there's a horse.
It might be just to stop them getting stolen or something, you know, like just a...
How does that work? If your horse has got a long tail and you want to change its identity to stop anyone else looking at a passport going, oh, look, that's a stolen horse, you cut its tail. I mean, the logic doesn't make sense.
Right. It's all right. I'm sure Jane Kennedy, if she's listening,
will
tell us. Otherwise, I'll give her a ring.
Yeah. Mm. And let us know.
We'll get her on the phone next week.
That's really important. I've got a story here. You know, Toby, you were talking about getting fit.
Yes.
And being healthy.
Yes.
And, you know, you like doing that because you're good at that.
I'm not. I'm hoping to be.
Yeah. There's great news for people like me who find the idea of exercise repugnant.
Right.
And repulsive.
Right.
And it's
What's
this.
The difference between repugnant and repulsive?
Nothing. A couple of vowels. Research has been done on Australia. Now, bear in mind it's Australian men, so we're not talking normal run-of-the-mill men here. Okay? It's worth making that point. Well, you know, I know last week or during the week it was Australia Day, and that's kind of, it's weird. I mean, you know, anyway, researchers reckon drinking a few pints really improves a man's performance.
Hey.
In the sack. They studied 1,580 Australian men. You need to bear that in mind because they're Australian men. They're not necessarily like normal.
Are we talking
men.
About sack racing then here?
No, we're talking about GGG.
I thought, because you said exercise, I thought you meant some kind of running or cycling or...
No, I'm talking about Jiggy Jiggy.
Jiggy Jiggy.
1,580 Australian men has shown, the study that was done on these men, has shown drinkers suffer 30% fewer problems in bed than teetotalers. Now, isn't that good?
What did they describe a problem in bed as? Exactly.
The scientific term is brewer's droop.
Right. Right. Okay. See, okay.
And this is the best bit. Even binge drinkers... Well, I found out the other day... Was it you who was telling me, Laura, what the definition of binge drinking is?
Yeah.
What is the definition of binge drinking?
For men, I think it's 5 units or more in one sitting, and for women, it's 3 units.
Now, I
Isn't
noticed...
that, like, more than a glass of wine, then, for a woman? glasses of wine.
Two glasses of wine will push you over,
yeah. Equals binge drink.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I noticed that, kind of, actually, let's just have a look at the ties that we have in the bottles here. Now, what's this? Has this got the units written on there? Of course it hasn't, because it's a 1.7. All right, so 1.7 times 2 is 3.4.
Yeah.
Okay, and then stick another 1.7 on top of that is...
5.1.
5.1. So three bottles of this Tizer...
Yeah.
Okay, is classed as a binge drinking session.
Yes. Mm.
Okay, that's what I find amazing, the definition of binge drinking in this country. Anyway, I digress. Binge drinkers had lower rates of brewer's droop than people who never drink. Dr. Q. Kim Chu...
It's ironic it's called what? Brewer's droop if it's drinking helps. Surely. It's ironic well, that
you're
they
right,
still
because
use this
the,
term.
The definition yet... is now redundant, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
We found, compared to those who have never touched alcohol, many people do benefit from some drinking. Men giving up drinking had the most problems. So isn't that a mandate? And I love these surveys, particularly when they say something that I think is positive
yeah.
and strengthens a position from a male point of view.
That we'd like to hear.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
Also, I wanted to mention, online dating... I've got some information for, and I thought we'd leave that until next week, maybe, because I've got some tips about online dating,
right.
which I really wish we actually had access to, probably about, 2 months ago?
When we were first starting out.
There's some really good things on here, including you must perfect your profile, which I think we made a mistake on, because Tony only got two...
Tony? Who's Tony?
Well, that's who you are, isn't it? Who are you?
I'm James.
Toby only had two nibbles, didn't you, really?
No, I've had several since PP turned up, haven't I? We've discussed this.
It's always the way.
It's been
that.
Three or four, haven't there, since PP
Women
turned up.
Women are like
up.
Buses.
In what way?
That you got none and then they all turn up at once.
Seats are a bit saggy in the middle. Can't park properly. Anyway, how do we get onto that? Oh, yeah, the online dating thing. I'm going to file this because in case any of us need it in the future, this is a definitive guide, The Secret Rules of Online Dating, and it's absolutely brilliant. It's one of the best
You're
articles
I've read teasing
people. For a long
You're
time.
Doing the classic
well,
radio
right,
tease,
I can do it now. I'll put Janet Street Porter to one side.
Oh, Janet, you love Janet Street
no,
Porter.
No, I think we should do online dating next week.
No, I agree. You're teasing
I'll
it.
Make your mind up. What do you want?
No, I'm saying you're teasing it. This is a classic radio technique,
Wait,
isn't
we
it?
Like teasing.
Yeah, listen next week.
I'll tease it, because I want to tease it.
Yeah, fair
right.
enough.
Janet Street Porter.
Don't get sulky, Duncan.
My cardigan.
My show.
He's going to do it up.
My
World
cardigan.
Against Duncan.
My show. Right, Janet Street Porter. Janet Street Porter, who I quite like. I've had a revelation here. Now, I've talked at length on this show and elsewhere of my love for JSP.
Yeah.
Okay, I like her, all of that red hair and teeth and stuff. I think she's great. JSP, who I like, I was watching one of the funny channels on Freeview yesterday. It was the F word, you know, the Ramsay program.
I saw it.
Did you see it?
Yes.
When she had the calves.
Oh, I didn't see
well,
the
didn't
same
have the
one.
Calves. Oh, she didn't give
that.
Birth to the calves. She had the calves that
so
she was
see
looking
the same
after.
One as you.
When she had to kill the calves.
Oh, she wasn't killing them. She was taking them around in a motorised buggy. Yesterday, and she was driving around the Dales and showing people like farmers, other farmers and butchers. Just a bit cruel when you think about it. This is a calf, butcher. Even school children as well. She was going, these are what calves are like and this is how we eat veal and all of this kind of jazz. But I was watching and I thought, oh God, my love for you goes off the scale. There's something about you. Until I read something today. Janet Street Porter has written a book, which is no great surprise because she's a newspaper columnist, a former editor and a journalist. And it's called Janet Street Porter's Life's Too Effing Short, OK? Yeah. It's been printed in paperback, but the kind of little subtitle is Lessons in Life for the Over 60s. Now, I didn't know Janet Street Porter was over 60.
No, I don't think
not.
She is.
Well,
she?
I'm pretty sure she is. I've read this article 10 times now, and why on earth would she write a book? Where would her experience be, her knowledge about life... for over 60s, unless she was in that age bracket.
Maybe she's just interviewed some people that are over 60.
No, because this is all stuff that she's written about and how to get through life. She says, to hell with growing old gracefully. I don't know the meaning of graceful.
Can we look it up on...
It's there at the top of my list of banned words and phrases, along with sensible and form an orderly cue. Just be yourself at all times. I went to a dinner at the House of Commons the other week, and because I was recovering from a knee operation, I wore flat biker boots with a short dress. This commissionaire stops us saying, you do know this is a formal occasion, and to my boyfriend, you'll find every other man is wearing black tie, as if I needed grooming lessons from a jerk in a serge suit, is what she said. Which I find quite amusing, which is part of my reason for loving JSP. But I actually think she is over the age of 16. I'm shocked by that. I'm
going
to have to find someone else as the object of my infatuation. What?
Are you upset that she... I thought you liked older women.
Yeah, but not over 60.
Why not?
It's just wrong.
For some of my age. Producer's just doing some research.
We're
going to
have to keep it quick, because we're going to have to go in a second.
Well, I know.
What do you want? Are you on Wikipedia?
If she's 60, what is she, just over double your age?
There's no way she's 60.
Just under double your age.
Are you on Wikipedia, dear?
It's always right.
Well, you're going to write it down. Do you know, we have the only mute producer on this radio station.
I'd say 54. What do you say, Toby?
I would say just over 50.
What's that? What's that? Let's have a look. What?
What's your guess going to be, Duncan?
Well, no, quickly. We have to go. No! Oh,
that
true?
No,
62.
That's astonishing.
Oh, my God.
JSP is 62.
That's astonishing.
And on that cliffhanger... We will leave Bloke Talk for this week. Laura,
amazing.
Thank you. Toby, thank you. Good luck with the
pressure's
cycling.
Pressure's on next week, isn't it, food-wise?
And thank you for listening or downloading Bloke Talk here on The Voice of Liverpool, City Talk 105.9.
Listen, and log on to The Voice of Liverpool, City Talk 105.9.